6, Chapter Text 5 and 6. Utharet Atmanatmanam Natmanam Avasatayet Atmaiva Hi Atmano Pandur Atmaiva Ripur Atmanaha Utharet Atmanatmanam Natmanam Avasatayet Atmaiva Yatmano Bandur Atmaiva Ripur Atmanaha Bandur Atmamanastasya Bandur Atmatmanastasya Yenatmaivatmanachita Anatmanastu Shatrutve Vate Tatmaiva Shatruvat Utharet One must deliver Atmana by the mind Atmanam the conditioned soul Na, never. Atmanam, the conditioned soul. Avasadayet, put into degradation. Atma, the mind. Eva, certainly. He, indeed. Atmanaha, the conditioned soul. Bandhu, a friend. Atma, mind. Eva, certainly. Ripu, enemy. Atmana, of the conditioned soul. A man must elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul. And his enemy as well. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The word Atma denotes body, mind, and soul depending upon different circumstances. In the yoga system, the mind and the conditioned soul are especially important. Since the mind is the central point of yoga practice, Atma refers here to the mind. The purpose of the yoga system is to control the mind and to draw it away from attachment to sense objects. It is stressed herein that the mind must be so trained that it can deliver the conditioned soul from the mire of nations. In material existence, one is subjected to the influence of the mind and the senses. In fact, the pure soul is entangled in the material world because of the mind's ego, which desires to lord it over material nature. Therefore, the mind should be trained so that it will not be attracted by the glitter of material nature. And in this way, the conditioned soul may be saved. One should not degrade oneself by attraction to sense objects. The more one is attracted by sense objects, the more one becomes entangled in material existence. The best way to disentangle oneself is to always engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. The word He in this verse is used for emphasizing this point. In other words, that one must do this, it is also said. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayo bandhaya vishaya sango muktai nivirshayam mana. For a man, mind is the cause of bondage and the mind is the cause of liberation. The mind absorbed in sense objects is the cause of bondage and the mind detached from the sense objects is the cause of liberation. Therefore, the mind which is always engaged in Krishna consciousness is the cause of supreme liberation. Then text 6. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends, But for one who has failed to do so, his very mind will be the greatest enemy. The purpose of practicing Eightfold Yoga is to control the mind in order to make it a friend in discharging the human mission. Unless the mind is controlled, the practice of yoga for show is simply a waste of time. One who cannot control his mind lives always with the greatest enemy, and thus his life and its mission are spoiled. The constitutional position of the living entity is to carry out the order of the superior. As long as one's mind remains as an unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger, avarice, illusion, etc. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictation of the Personality of Godhead, who is situated within the heart of everyone as Paramatma. Real yoga practice entails meeting the Paramatma within the heart and then following his dictation. For one who takes the Krishna consciousness directly, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically. Utaret atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet atmaiva hi atmano bandhur atmaiva ripur atmana. A man must elevate himself by his own mind, not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his very mind will be the greatest enemy. Om Agyatim Ranyasyakananchana Salakyam Chakshurunmiltam Yena Tasmai Shri Karave Namaha Se Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitamena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So here Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that Atma, the Sanskrit word, has different meanings: body, mind, intelligence, like that. So in this sense, the control, self-control, starts with the controlling the mind. Because the mind is the central sense, is the sixth sense. If the mind is under control, naturally the senses are also under control. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his first verse of Upadeshamrita, he says, Vacha Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam. Jiva Vegam Udara Pasta Vegam. So he who can control the six urges, mind is an urge, anger is an urge, engage in sexual life, that's an urge. So the mind also is an urge, is urging us. So the words, to speak all kinds of things, is also an urge. And to eat all kinds of palatable food is an urge. Vega, urge, means it is a force. the conditioned soul, because it is in contact with the material nature since time immemorial, is in contact with the senses, with the modes of material nature, and with the mind, is embodied in this, the soul, conditioned soul, is conditioned by the mind and the body and the modes of material nature. Therefore, it's not independent. He's urged, he's forced to act. Like a bull, you know, who has a ring on the nose, you know. The farmer is leading him in the direction he likes to have him. So similarly, the living entity is forced by the, according to the modes of material nature, to go in different directions. Especially in the human form of life, all the senses are very predominant. In animal species, some of the senses are very prominent. Some has a good smell, like a dog. Some birds, they have very good eyes, but what they see, only garbage, like the vulture. Somebody maybe has a very good ears, good smell. But in the human being, all these senses are fully predominant. For an animal, he cannot control mind, because he works under instinct. Instinct means it's his nature. A conditioned soul, according to his karma, gets an animal body, and then naturally acts accordingly. A dog acts as a dog, a bird as a bird, a cow as a cow. You don't see a cow acting as a dog. So it doesn't change the nature. But a human being, because of the mind and the freedom, the free will to exploit or to enjoy the material nature, comes fully under the control of the material energy, under the influence of the mind. And the mind, as it is described here, he is the cause why we are in this material world. He is dragging us to this material world, because it comes from subtle cause. And therefore, if we can control the mind and engage it in Krishna consciousness, then the mind becomes the purpose of liberation, to come to Krishna. So it's the same instrument. Actually, the mind is not an enemy by nature, because the mind, in the beginning of creation, of material existence, the mind is in the mode of goodness, sattva guna. The intelligence is in the mode of passion, buddhi, raja guna. And the senses and the five gross elements are in the mode of ignorance, tamaguna. Therefore, the material world sometimes is described as tamasa. The mode of ignorance, because it's very gross, very ignorant. The living entity is conditioned. It has forgotten its original condition or purpose or nature, svarup or dharma, to be an eternal servant of Krishna. That's inherent in the soul, always. Even though the soul is in the material world, since time immemorial, changing one body and after another, is Krishna. You have to put this down there. There's nobody who can. So the the soul, because it's in contact with the material nature since time immemorial, he's in forgetfulness about his real nature. The nature of Krishna consciousness is inherent. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem. Satya Koranoi, Shravana Adi Shute Chite, Koryo Vidoi. But it is sleeping, it is covered by nations, by ignorance. And therefore, by yoga practice, one tries to awaken this sleeping consciousness, to wake up to the real conscious life. The three stages of consciousness, as we know. Wakefulness, sleeping, and deep sleep. But both is material condition, even the wakefulness. So the real wakefulness if we wake up to Krishna consciousness, to our real identity, that I'm Atma, I'm soul, I'm eternal, I'm Nitya. And Krishna is the Supreme Eternal. He's Vibhu. I'm Anu. I'm very small. Therefore, I have the tendency to become covered, to become forgetful of my real identity, eternal identity. But Krishna never forgets. He's Vibhu. He's unlimited. He's almighty. He never forgets. Like Krishna told to Arjuna, there was never a time where I didn't exist, nor you, nor all these kings. Also in the future, nobody will not exist. There's never a time, in the past, in the present, and in the future. But the conditioned soul forgets, but Krishna don't forget. And because Krishna don't forget, therefore he comes always to this material world, again and again, yuge, in different yugas, to establish and to re-establish and awaken the sleeping soul to his eternal consciousness. So that's great mercy. Without that, the soul, the super soul, is waking us up. We cannot wake up. We cannot come to consciousness. Although we think I'm conscious now, I wake up in the morning. But actually we're not waking up because we are still in the bodily conception. As long as we are in the bodily conception, we are bound up. And the mind gives us because the mind has so many impressions from this life. A program that we take with us from even past lives in this life. The mind is keeping us in this illusion. Because the mind, although pure by origin, takes up the filthy nature of the gunas, of tamaguna and rajaguna. With whatever the mind is in contact or absorbed, that quality he takes. Like water. Water by origin is always pure. Rasaham apsakauntea. I am the taste of the water. So the original taste of water is tasty, it's sweet, it's pure. It's a pure element. Like all the elements, like the wind also, it's pure. But if it comes in contact with filthy smell or dirt, it absorbs this quality. And therefore we consider this is filthy water, this is polluted air, this is polluted sound. Many times we think, oh, there's so much pollution. Filthy earth, filthy, dirty water, dirty mind.
But the worst thing in Kali Yuga is the dirty sound vibration. It's a sound, we call it sound pollution. And even in the holy land of Vrindavan, in Braj, this kind of sound pollution is there, very prominent. And therefore, some sadhus, they have to move from like Radhakund or some other place where there's so many loudspeakers and so many different kinds of music they play, very loud. You cannot absorb in bhajan. So therefore, they go to a more quiet place. And another place where there is not so much sound pollution, or where there is no sound pollution at all, yet. Now, until now. But who knows in the future, also there it will go. Fortunately, there are still such places in Braj, where there is not so much sound pollution. But in many places there is sound pollution. And all over the world the sound pollution is there. And sound is very strong. We come here, Prabhupada mentioned, we come here through sound. Because the original contact with material nature is shabdaha, sound. And therefore, if we are transforming the sound into transcendental sound, Brahma Shabda, then you can come out of it. But as we have heard, we have to do it with concentration to chant the holy name. Not to speak of meditation. Meditation is even more difficult to find out where is a peaceful place for meditation. You have to go to a place where there is no sound at all. No disturbance. Where to find? Very, very difficult. We have to go high in the mountains. And even there, because sound is a vibration, it circulates, and can influence the mind. Because mind is very subtle. So although these elements are all pure origin, because they are manifestations of Vishnu, the universal form, they're all pure. But because of the action and reaction of the material modes of material of the nature, Triguna Mayi, all these elements become polluted by the modes of nature, especially Tama and Rajas. And the Bhagavatam states, Tadara chas tamo bhava kama lopa dayaschaye chitaritar anavidyam stitvam sattve prasidati. As long we are in the modes of material nature, sattva guna and raja guna, as long as our mind is influenced of that, we cannot act in ekanta bhakti, in fixed devotional service. Because an ekanta bhakti or fixed devotional service is in the mode of goodness. That means the consciousness is purified, the heart is purified by sadhana bhakti. So sadhana bhakti, therefore it's very essential, very, very important that we train ourselves in regulated sadhana activities under guidance of the spiritual master. And if we regulate our life, we can develop positive habits, pure habits. Satuvritti, Satovritti, Rupa Goswami mentions. One of the positive items of devotional service is Satovritti, to accept pure habits, follow the pure examples. Sat, sadhu. Sadhu means pure. Sat sangha means pure sangha. So if we are associating with the pure sangha, sat sangha or sadhu sangha, then it becomes easy to control mind and senses But if we disassociate ourselves from satsanga or sadhusanga, and instead follow the process of the nishidachara, that means bad examples, people who have no control of mind and senses, if we're hearing from them, associating with them, hearing music from them, in the radio, TV, in the loudspeakers, you hear about this, so your mind immediately will become polluted. Your attention goes away from Krishna. So it's very difficult to control mind, especially in Kali Yuga. Even in previous ages, it was not very easy, because the yogi had to be very sincere under the guidance of the spiritual master to live in a solitary place, in the forest or in the mountains somewhere where there is no sound pollution, no air pollution, no water pollution, so that he could learn how to train himself, control himself through sadhana, yoga sadhana, astanga yoga. It's also mentioned here, because this chapter describes astanga yoga, eightfold process of yoga. It's taught by Patanjali Muni. He's the propounder of astanga yoga, also known as raja yoga. So yogis who are in the mode of goodness, they accept this yoga process. Those who are inclined in tamaguna, that accept tantric yoga process, hatha yoga and tantrics. But this is such an intense practice. It gives pain to the body and to the mind because of severe austerity, tapasya. So that many yogis who are practicing that, you know, they become very hard, or falling down, because they get a little mystical powers and they become attached to it, and immediately, you know, their progress, you know, towards liberation will be finished. It stopped. And the last allurement for the yogi is to become one with Brahman. It's another trick of Maya. So Maya has so many tricks, even for the yogis, to keep them away from the spiritual world, from the Lord's eternal abode, Vaikuntha, not to speak of Goloka. That place, that highest realm, it's a very confidential place. It's the planet of the cows, where Govinda, Krishna, with all his family members, with his associates, is eternally residing. Sahasra, Patra, Kamalam, Gokulakya Mahapadam, Kanikatam Mahatama, Govinda Stanam Abhayam. So in the meditation, this Goloka is like a 1,000 petal lotus, Sahasrapatra Kamalam, Gokulakya Mahapadam. It is the highest abode. It's above the material existence, above even the Vaikunthas. Kanikatam Mahatama, in the center, in the whirl of that lotus, Govinda, Govindastana, Avyayam, eternally is residing. But to attain that realm, and has to be purely fixed, and to receive the mercy of the Lord, to get the darshan. Like Lord Brahma, he was in yoga asana, in Padma, on his lotus. He didn't know about his existence, his origin, everything was dark. He didn't know about his purpose. He was looking first, trying to find out, what is my origin?
went up and down the stem of the lotus. In all direction was looking, but he could not find anything. Everything was dark. So he considered it wise to sit down in yoga asana, yoga posture, restraining himself, taking up tapasya, that means self-control, by fixing his mind on the heart. And then the Lord, after long time of meditation, the Lord revealed himself in his heart. Tene brahma rida adi kavaye muyanti atsuraya. The Lord revealed himself in the heart, Rida of Adikavi, Krishna, Brahma, the original poet. And Krishna gave him divine vision to that realm, Goloka. Therefore he composed Brahma, was singing Brahma Samhita. Chintamani prakarasatmasu kalpaviksha lakshavriteshu surabhiravipalayantam lakshmi sahasrasatasam brahma sevyamanam govindam adipurusham tamaham bachami. So in that realm he saw. It was not an illusion. It was revealed by Govinda, Krishna. In the pure heart, in the pure mind of Brahma. So therefore he could see Vaikuntha or Goloka, the spiritual world, Krishna's eternal abode. There every stone is Chintamani. Every tree there is a Kalpa tree. And all the cows are Kamadenus. And all the residents there, especially the gopis, are goddesses of fortunes, always ready to serve the Lord. Shriman Rasa Rasa Rambi Bamshivata Tatastita Kashan Venus Manai Gopir Gopinata Shri Estunaha. So is Gopinath, Krishna, Radha, Idrada, sitting under the Kalpa tree, surrounded by all the goddesses of fortunes, the gopis, all loving, affectionate to Radha Krishna in a serving mood. Therefore, Goloka, that realm, or the Goloka mood, we can only attain by seva, by seva, service mood, not by meditation. As Prahlad Maharaj told, those who meditate or chant silently, I don't consider elevated. They went not very much progress. But those who chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or the holy name loud, a full voice, I consider much thousands of times better, because they not only benefit themselves, they also benefit others, those around them. So a yogi, by meditation, he can deliver maybe himself by good fortune. But it's very troublesome, this process. Krishna himself told, yoga process, very troublesome. Bhakti yoga is actually easy. Susukham kavya, susukham, it's very enjoyable, and it's without interruption, without stop. Therefore, only this devotional service without stop, this kevala ananda kanda, this kevala bhakti without stop, this is the great gift of Shisi Gornitai. Krishna Balaram, they came to bring this gift. Parama Karuna Bahudvichana Nitai Gorachandra. Shabhavatara Shara Shiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda Bhacha Bhacha Bhai Chaitanya Nitai Sutrita Vishwasakori. So Lochan Das Thakur is requesting us to worship Gaurītai because they're very merciful, most merciful incarnation. Because they brought us the process of Kevalananda Kanda, the pure process, the pure path. And if we go that path of the given by Lord Chaitanya, the path who was given by the Mahajans, then that's the auspicious path. This is an auspicious path. Because this is given by Krishna and by Krishna's devotees. And because Krishna's devotees are establishing this path by Krishna's mercy, Krishna is accepting the devotional service of any person who is serving the devotees who are following the Mahajan path, who are following the path of Gaurītai and all the great souls who went the path of bhakti, who attained Goloka. So by going this path, one gets automatically the strength. And in a natural way, we learn to fix our senses and the mind in Krishna's service. Although sometimes also it's difficult for the bhakta, for the devotee. Especially if we are not so much in control. Sometimes we're eating too much. Jiva vega, urge of the belly and tongue. Sometimes we eat too much. And if one eats too much, then very easily one can become lazy. And the mind will become lazy. Mind will not be sharp, cannot be controlled then or fixed in Krishna, pure Krishna consciousness. So the mind very easily can become lazy. And then it becomes an enemy. Because the mind, he knows what is the occupation of the soul. And he is able to help the soul to reach the Goloka, the spiritual world. But as soon we are somehow or other become weak and become victim to our senses and to the sense objects by contemplating about it. Jayate avishayam pumsham sangasteisha pachayate sangat sanchayate kama kama krodha pachayate and so on and on and so on and so on. And Krishna is explaining that process, how we actually fall down in the material whirlpool. It's a whirlpool. Material existence is a whirlpool. So, like in a river or in an ocean, they have very dangerous whirlpools. So even if you are a very strong swimmer, very expert swimmer, you're gone. These whirlpools, they will swallow you up and you are finished. So this material existence is like a whirlpool. As many whirlpools, the living entities is weak, it's very small, very tiny, we're helpless. We are in this whirlpool of material existence. Samsara chakra. So we cannot come out on our own. So we have to call out the name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Krishna, in the original Bhagavad Gita, is a nice picture of the devotee in the ocean of material existence. With shaved head, with sikha, with his hand up, and then Krishna is reaching him the hand to pull him up on sikha. Therefore we should have sikha.
case the hands cannot lift, we cannot lift up, but Krishna can see the sikha, so he can lift us up. So never cut sikha. As long as you have hair, keep the sikha. Mayavad is cutting sikha. Sannyasis, Mayavadis, they're cutting sikhas. But the Vaishnava sannyasis and devotees, they're keeping sikha. Because Krishna, that's how Krishna will can carry you up to the spiritual world. So Krishna, if you're calling out the name of Krishna, that's the only way in the Kali Yuga. And the holy name is always pure. Nitya Shuddha, Nitya Mukta, Binadvan Namanamino. The holy name is not different from Krishna. It's always pure. Nitya Shuddha, Nitya Siddha. It's always perfect. Never becomes polluted by the material. This sound, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, never becomes polluted by the material sound or energy. Always remains transcendental. Why? Binadvam namanamino. Because the holy name is not different from Krishna. As Sanatana Goswami says in his prayer book, Krishna Lila Stava, it is Krishna who came in this world again as the holy name and as the Srimad Bhagavatam. The sages of Naimisharani ask, where Dharma went after Krishna left? Where the religious principles, where the process of purification, where the process of self-realization, of reconnecting ourselves with the Lord? How is it possible when after Krishna left? Where he took shelter? Sutta Goswami told in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Svata Mabhagate Dharma Jnani Bisaha Kalonastra Dishamesha Purunarko Dunoditaha. So the Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun. And the Bhagavatam, it's Krishna who appeared. And Krishna left from this world, the Bhagavatam sun appeared. So the holy name and the Srimad Bhagavatam together are the religious principles for the Vaishnavas. Therefore, for the Vaishnavas, it's not necessary to perform any kind of yoga practice to purify themselves, to have better mind control. Although some mixed bhakti yogis, yoga mishra bhaktas, they think it's important to make some, it's sometimes recommended to have some pranayama, also in the Vaishnava tantras. As described, the pranayama for purification, for a peaceful mind, that one can control the mind. But you should not make it as a main process. You should not overemphasize pranayama. Pranayama, as long as it is helpful to help to support our concentration on Krishna, we can accept. And everything we can accept, as long as it is helpful for the service of Krishna, then it's nothing unfavorable. Because in the surrendering process, we learn to accept everything favorable for the service of Krishna. And reject that what is unfavorable. So certain kind of pranayama one can accept, but we should not become attached to it as the main thing. Because some yogis, they give so much emphasis in pranayama. They make pranayama the whole day, day and night. Of course, we all breathe also day and night. No. But the yogis, they make control of breathing. In, breathing in, breathing out, stopping the breath. Ultimately, they can completely control the mind. And always stay awake, even in the night. They don't have to sleep anymore. That's the yogis But if they only remain in pranayama and not become attached to Krishna and think about Krishna and engage in devotional service, then this is nothing special. It's not a special advanced stage, because pranayama is on the fourth level of Ashtanga Yoga. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama. It's the fourth. But then it's Dharana, Dhyana, Pratyahara, the fifth, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and Samadhi. So it's ultimate, full concentration, full absorption. Samadhi means full absorption. So the purpose of yoga is to attain full absorption. And for that we need a controlled mind. And for the yogi, very long time practices pranayama to control the mind, to purify his nadis, his internal nerve, that the nerve nadis are like rivers in the body. There are 108 main nadis where the soul is actually existing. Therefore, if these nadis become disturbed, there's disease. And the yogi, and by opening these nadis, and by pranayama, by mystical yoga practice, can become very strong. His body becomes strong, mind strong, senses become weaker. And so that they can fix on the higher purpose. But unfortunately, many times the yogis, they don't fix on Krishna, on the personality of Godhead, with the purpose to serve Him. They only meditate about Him in a passive way, with the purpose to merge in Him, to become light particles dancing around the Ananda Maya Purusha, as described in Vedanta Sutra and also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So living entity wants to attain Anandamaya, happiness, eternal happiness in the spiritual life. Therefore they want to connect with Mahapurusha, with Lord Vishnu. But Lord Vishnu is just a part and parcel of Krishna, expansion of an expansion. So how much bliss must be in Krishna? But the devotee is not just want to meditate about Krishna. He wants to serve Krishna with all his senses, with all his mind. Sometimes we only work and forget the mind also to engage. So the mind should also be absorbed in devotional service. If we only do physical service and actually with the mind we are somewhere else, we are daydreaming, we are thinking about so many other things, then we cannot do the service nicely. For the devotee, he learns how to control the mind also and fixing on Krishna and becoming expert in a certain particular field of activity. And we need the mind for that. Then we can attain perfection in seva, in service. Because if we only physically serve and with the mind we are somewhere else, then we are pretending. We're actually not in real yoga, not in real bhakti. So we are only in shadow, in sleeping stage. So we have to also wake up to the consciousness of the mind and with the help of intelligence and purify our cheta, our consciousness, so that with one line, with body, mind and words, and senses, we can serve Krishna in one line. So Then we are connected with Krishna in a natural way. Because devotional service is not different from Krishna. Holy name is not different from Krishna. Then naturally, if we are absorbing in devotional service and in the name of Krishna, then we feel connected with Krishna if the consciousness is there, if we are fixing our mind on it. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayo vachamsi vaikunta gorana vanane. Therefore with the mind we have to engage in bhakti yoga also, not only with the body. Body we can use, we should use all the different angas, parts of the body which engage, and also the mind in thinking about Krishna, fixing our mind in Krishna. So then this way we will become Krishna conscious. And then if we become Krishna conscious, then automatically the senses and also the mind will become controlled, they become blissful. Actually, the mind likes to become happy. He wants to enjoy. But as long as he has not a higher taste, then he has to enjoy something together with the senses and the sense object in the material world. But as soon as we give the mind a higher taste, a higher purpose, a higher goal, this Goloka, Krishna, all his associates, and meditate about that, then the mind will become happy. Then we will attain with the soul together this Anandamaya, this eternal happiness. Vedanta Sutra says this eternal happiness we cannot achieve or attain by our own power. Only if we connect with Krishna, then we can be happy. Hare Krishna. Stopping here. Thank you. Hare Krishna.